بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سنن الاتيكيت. The etiquette, sunan etiquette of the pathway to guide someone who is lost. To guide someone who is lost. Meaning that you see, either you see someone and appears he is lost, or he asks you, then one of the advices mentioned in the hadith is you should guide him. So guide him could take two forms. One is you direct him in the where to go, and a better form if you have time is, you know, you personally take him. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon them. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So last week we began a discussion on tazkiyah and the rectification of the heart, and we discussed the purpose of it, which is to create within oneself the ability to practice upon deen, in a nutshell. We discussed that first a person needs an iman, then he needs ilm, and thereafter he needs to be able to practice upon that ilm. And where he struggles to practice upon that ilm, that is a sign that he needs to undergo the process of tazkiyah, of the rectification of the heart. And at the end of last lesson, we briefly touched upon the fact that there are two categories of commands of Allah Ta'ala. One category that is connected to the limbs, to the parts of the body, the physical, the outer parts of the body, and the other category that is connected to the heart. And this is what I wish to expand on today. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Leave zahir, visible sins, outer sins, wa batina, and hidden sins, inner sins. So outer sins refers to the sins that the physical limbs carry out. They are visible, so they have been called visible sins. And inner sins refers to the sins that are carried out by the heart. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala commands us to stay away from both of them. Now, when it comes to the outer body can carry out good deeds, and the heart can carry out good deeds, and the outer body can carry out sin, and the heart can also carry out sin. And here we should also mention, which is something that doesn't really come to mind, but it is an important point, which is that leaving a sin is also a good deed. This doesn't register with us, but if you perform salah, it registers that I've carried out a good deed. And let's say you were outside and you had the opportunity to misuse your eyes, and you didn't do it. So it does register that I've avoided, and there was an opportunity to carry out a sin, to disobey Allah, and I avoided it. So I avoided sin. But avoiding sin is also a good deed. So the physical body has good deeds and bad deeds. The heart also has good deeds and bad deeds. And in fact, the ulama have also given these different... We will discuss that the outer deeds and the inner deeds are somewhat different in nature. For example, outer deeds, we don't need to give examples of, you know, plenty of good deeds and bad deeds. An example of a good deed, inner good deed, is generosity. Now, one is generosity, meaning that someone gives, physically gives something in the path of Allah. That is generosity, that is an outer deed. But we are talking about generosity, the feeling of generosity within a person. That is also a good deed. How is that also a good deed? Let me give you a very simple example. There is an opportunity to give in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe you see someone poor, or in our time more commonly it's a case of you know, you hear about some project or some necessity, and you don't have any spare money. You don't have any spare money. So you don't give anything. But the feeling, you, because you have a lot of generosity inside, so the feeling inside is that I wish I could give. So this generosity inside is also a good deed. And in fact, Sharia and Deen places a lot more emphasis on this, on the strength of this inner quality as opposed to the outer action. I'm not saying Sharia disregards the outer action. What I'm saying is that it places more emphasis on this inner action. Why? The outer action, if you carry on with this example of generosity, the outer action can be influenced by a lot of things. I am a millionaire. So I can easily give £10,000 and without breaking a sweat. Another person, he's working class. He has a couple of thousand in the bank. His generosity inside might be stronger. But he may only give £100, £500. So if someone was to see our physical action, every person would say that my physical action is greater. And his physical action is smaller. 10 opportunities came to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. I have plenty of excess wealth, so I spent all 10 opportunities. And someone else who didn't have much excess wealth, he only spent in one opportunity. That is a physical action. But the generosity, which is the zeal inside to spend for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, if that is more in that person's heart, then he becomes more valuable in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in the hadith that ana ajwad wuldi Adam, out of all mankind, all of the children of Adam, the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasallam, all of mankind, I am the most generous. Now if you look at it in numbers, you total up everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave in his life in the path of Allah, it won't be much compared to some of the figures of, never mind Muslims, non-Muslims, some millions, some in our time, especially some wealthy people. They have a habit of sometimes spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. What purpose? They know better, but they have a habit. So some of the figures, if you look, he's a billionaire. Sometimes for this project, he gives £100,000. For this project, he gives £1,000,000. And if you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entire life, what he gives in the path of Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't even equal what this non-Muslim is giving. But despite that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I am the most generous of mankind. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't boasting. There were some things he was commanded by Allah Ta'ala to inform us. So how is that the case? Because in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, more important than the outer action, the outer action still holds importance. But more important than the outer action is the quality within. And in terms of the quality within, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous. So, both actions exist. And although the actions of the heart, they are actions, they you can call them a'mal, but more often than not, they are called qualities. They are called characteristics. Because when you talk about generosity of the heart, an action doesn't really come to mind. You can't connect that it's an amal. So you can call it a quality, you can call it a characteristic. Same goes with evil qualities and evil actions. An example of an evil quality of the heart is jealousy. Again, not a physical action. It's a quality within, but it's an evil deed. So now that we have understood that there are two categories, now, the next thing, so in reality, Deen tells us to bring both of these into our life. It's not a case of worry about the heart and don't worry about the physical actions. Or worry about the physical actions and don't worry about the internal actions. No, Deen tells us, like we just mentioned, the verse of the glorious Quran, ذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Leave the visible sins and the inner sins. So Deen tells us to carry out both. But there is a difference between the physical actions and the actions of the heart. The difference between them is that the heart is the control center of the whole body. The spiritual heart is the spiritual control center of the whole body. So if a person makes effort on rectifying his heart, then that will also lead to the rectification of his physical actions. So if you rectify the inner actions, the outer actions will also rectify. The opposite is not necessarily true. It's not necessary that, for example, if I rectify all the... Rather, if we take it a step further, within the outer actions, the physical outer actions, you have the actions of the hands, you have the actions of the tongue, you have the actions of the eyes. If you focus on rectifying any one of those, it's not necessary that the... Never mind the actions of the heart, that even the actions of the other physical body parts will rectify themselves. It will benefit, because every deed, every good deed you do, every sin you avoid has a benefit. We'll discuss that later. If there is only one body part that has this characteristic, that you rectify it, and everything else also becomes rectified. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, that in ala inna fil jasadi la mudghah, that definitely in the body there is a piece of flesh. إذا صلحت, when it becomes spiritually healthy, صلح الجسد كله, the entire body becomes spiritually healthy. وإذا فسدت, and when it becomes spiritually unhealthy, it becomes spiritually spoiled. The entire body becomes spiritually spoiled. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ألا وهي القلب. Listen very carefully. It is the heart that I am referring to. So you can say this is, if a person wants to fully become practicing upon deen, then it is fundamental that he understands what is wrong with the heart, what is the heart supposed to stay away from, what is the heart supposed to do, how does a person do it. So the first topic that is discussed in Tazkiyah is what qualities need to be brought in the heart, what qualities need to be removed. And the second topic of discussion is how does a person do it. Now, this topic is especially important because physical actions, you don't need a lengthy explanation for how to do them. Yes, maybe something like salah, it has ruling, etc. But in general, physical actions, you are told what the action is and a brief description of the action. And then you will, if it's a good deed, then you will try your best to carry it out. You will force yourself if necessary. If it's an evil deed, you will have to force yourself to stay away from it. Now, if I tell you that generosity is a quality of the heart, and a person must have it, and a person must increase it, then the next question automatically is, how do you do it? How does a person affect the actions of the heart? Easier said than done. And the opposite also holds true. A person has jealousy in his heart. Jealousy means that a person, when he looks at someone else's blessing, he has this desire that I wish it goes away. And jealousy, there are two levels of it. One, there are two types, you can say, two forms of it. One form of it is that I wish his blessing goes away. You see someone who is very wealthy. So the desire is, I wish this wealth goes away from him, he loses his wealth. And I become wealthy instead. That is jealousy as well. And another form of jealousy, which is that you are not bothered whether you become wealthy or not. The only feeling is, I wish this blessing goes away from him, whether I become wealthy or not. Both aspects of jealousy. So it's an evil quality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned very severe warnings for it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that jealousy eats away a person's good deeds, just like fire consumes firewood. Meaning very, very fast. You put some firewood inside, very swiftly it gets consumed. And when it gets consumed, there's nothing but ash left, which can be scattered in the air. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that jealousy consumes good deeds, a person's good deeds that he has carried out, jealousy consumes them in the same manner, meaning it finishes, it devours them very quickly, and there's nothing left after that. So very seriously. But someone has jealousy in his heart, and he is told of this hadith, and you may well have heard of this hadith. But after this hadith, rarely is it discussed, then how do you remove that quality? It's not a physical action that I can force myself to stop doing it.
I may, the next time the feeling comes, I may dislike it. I may be aware it's a major sin. But then how do I remove it? That's a separate issue altogether. So that is the next discussion. That how is this done? But before we carry on, let us understand another important concept which is connected to this, which is that these qualities of the heart, in the terminology of Sharia, in the terminology of the Quran and the Hadith, they are called akhlaq. Singular is being khuluq and plural being akhlaq. Now this is very important to understand, because akhlaq also has a meaning in our Urdu Gujarati, and which has transferred into English for most of us as well. In Urdu, Gujarati, and by extension for many of us, English, when we say regarding someone, he has good akhlaq, that we're not talking about the qualities within his heart. We may be, but more often than not, we're referring to his behavior. He's very polite. He's very respectful. He knows how to speak, etc., etc. So, I'm not saying that these are not things that Sharia desires of us, that Deen desires of us. No, these are also things that Deen desires of us. And in some ways, they are connected to the qualities of the heart. We will discuss that. But this is not what in the Quran and the Ahadith, when akhlaq is mentioned, khuluq being the singular, which we will often translate to character, this is not what is referred to. What is referred to is the qualities in a person's heart. And akhlaq in the Quran, the Hadith, can be bad or good. You'll get mention of ahsanul akhlaq and sayyul akhlaq, good character and bad character. Mention of both comes in the Hadith. And when the evil akhlaq, the evil qualities are suppressed, and the good qualities, they are strong, they dominate a person's heart. Ahead we will also touch upon the fact that evil qualities. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by way of test, He has created some things for us. For example, shaitan, Allah ta'ala perfectly could have not created shaitan. Similarly, shaitan wasn't born with a lengthy lifespan until the day of resurrection. When the incident with Adam alayhi salam happened, at the end he requested to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala could have easily denied the request and he would have passed away a long time ago. But Allah Ta'ala gave him a long life. For many wisdoms, one wisdom being Allah Ta'ala kept him as a test for us. So similarly, akhlaq, good quality, good akhlaq, bad akhlaq. Bad akhlaq, like, now every person is different. But every person is born with good akhlaq and bad akhlaq. Selfishness, stinginess, not wanting to give other people, the opposite of generosity, miserliness, is an evil quality. You will find this evil quality in children as well, young children. And you will find this quality in children, but there's some children very miserly with the toys. And you will find this, number one, you will find this quality in children. And number two, you will find differences in this quality as well. And people who have had two, three children will have seen this very clearly. That there is one child, when he was young, not ready to share any toys. And the next child is perfectly ready, he doesn't mind. In fact, he goes around finding, looking for people to give his toys to. So find someone, a partner to. Anger, excessive anger, is an evil quality of the heart. Some children, from a very young age, they have this quality. These qualities Allah Ta'ala has naturally placed within a person. And every person's mixture of good akhlaq and bad akhlaq is different. Allah Ta'ala will have given everyone both as a test. But which bad qualities are within a person naturally? With this person, that person, every person will be slightly different. The makeup of every person will be different. And that is exactly why every person's struggle to stay away from sin and practice upon deen is different. Some people may really struggle with controlling the anger. Another person, not necessarily very religious, he has no issue with that. But instead, he really struggles when it comes to controlling his eyes. A third person,
he doesn't find both of those particularly difficult. But he really struggles when it comes to spending in the path of Allah. Why is this? So this may have been because of deterioration afterwards, but one reason for this is that the natural makeup, the natural levels of akhlaq in each person is different. In the first person, the natural level of anger was greater. In the second person, the natural level of lust and shahwa, kind of desire, was greater. And in the third person, the natural level of bukhl and miserliness was greater. I hope you are following what I am saying. So these akhlaq, when you work on them, they don't disappear completely. What happens is that the bad akhlaq, the evil akhlaq, they become suppressed. They become suppressed, they become under control, you can say. And the good akhlaq, they become dominant. And when this happens, then a person's heart is rectified, it is purified. Or in the terminology of the glorious Quran, this is what is known as qalb salim. Illa man ata Allah bi qalbin salim. Salim means a safe heart, a heart that is safe from evil qualities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Day of Judgment, that يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala, according to some mufassirin, this is the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But even if they are the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala is quoting them in the glorious Quran. According to other mufassirin, these are the words of Allah Ta'ala himself. That the Day of Judgment is that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That wealth will be of no use, children will be of no use either. And wealth of children have been mentioned as an example, meaning nothing will be of use. And normally in the Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wealth, children, etc. will be of no use, and then after that he says that iman and good deeds will be of use. That's a normal picture in the Quran you get. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. On the Day of Resurrection, all people will be losers, except who? Those who have iman and who have good deeds. And this picture is everywhere in the Quran. But in this one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything else, wealth, children, etc. is of no use. What is of use? Illa man ata Allah bi qalbin salim. The person who comes with a pure heart, with a safe heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentioned that to be successful in the hereafter, you need a pure heart. Everywhere else Allah ta'ala mentioned, you need iman and good deeds. So, in reality, the answer is the same. Because when a person has a pure heart, then he is able to truly carry out good deeds and stay away from wrong. And until a person's heart is not pure, there will be some place indeed that he will struggle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand this. Ameen. Wa khidawan. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.